My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the Gospel, we have heard the second coming of Jesus. What are the things that would happen? Before getting into the reflections, with your permission, I would like to say a small joke, if you want. Do you? Yes. There is a person called Jarul. His name is Jarul. He goes to the church and he decided to get baptized. The pastor dipped him 3 times in the baptismal pool and said, "You are baptized in the name of the Father, then and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." 3 times he dipped him in the baptismal font. "From now on, you are no longer to be called Jarul, but Joseph." He said, "Hereafter, you are no more to be called Jarul, but Joseph." So Jarul went home and took a cold pint of beer, recalling what the pastor said. He headed for the kitchen and dipped the pint of beer in a bowl of water 3 times, saying, "From now on, you are no longer to be called Budweiser, but orange juice." Today, I am not here to call all of you orange juice. But Jesus, with his second coming, you know, we all know, as we are going to preparing ourselves to celebrate Christmas, when Jesus was born on this earth, there was a star in the sky, a special star. And in the beginning, as we look in the Bible, the first few chapters, we see the creation. God created light. God created the trees, the plants, and the animals and everything. And he saw to that it is perfect enough. And he saw to that it is good enough. But after the creation, now he is inviting us for the day of the judgment. I would like to explain to you this with a small story. Once a young man was drowning in the water. He cried for help. A man passing by the water jumped in and saved the person from drowning. Several years later, this same young man had fallen into sin of stealing a car and was brought into the court. In front of the court, he was brought. He was greatly relieved to see the man who saved him from the water sitting as a judge on the bench. "He will save me again," he thought to himself. Then the trial came to an end, and the judge, in giving the verdict, he said, "You are guilty, and I must condemn you." The man was found guilty, so the judge said, "I am going to condemn you." Then finally the judge says like this, "Young man, one day I was your savior to save from the waters. But now I am your judge. Your day of grace has come to an end, and now I am your judge." So also can be perhaps in our lives with us. Jesus and God, both of them, would have patience to save us number of times, the amount of times we fall into the sin. And more than that, God will keep on saving us. In other words, I would like to say, if we are trying to take one step to God, God is ready to take 10 steps for us. If we are able to take 10 steps towards God, and God is ready to take 100 steps to save us from sin and to save us from everything. And even in the course of time, many people attributed that the end of the world is going to come. All are going to die. Then in fact, all of us would be in fear. If God is trying to tell us this evening, by night, midnight, 12 o'clock, all are going to die. If we hear that sentence, the fear of death itself makes us to die. But lot of people in the past have said lot of things, the end of the world. And there was a person called a French prophet and astrologer named Nostradamus. He foretold that the world would come to an end when Easter fell April 25th. Whenever the Easter falls on April 25th, the world is going to come to an end. But this happened at most four times, in 1663, 1734, and in 1886, and in 1943. And it will again occur in 2038. But so far, nothing has happened. So also in 1379, St. Vincent Ferrer, a Spanish Dominican monk, basing his prediction on the number of the verses in the book of Psalms, there are 2,537 verses in the book of Psalms. Then he says, he predicted that the end of the world would be 3,936. I do not know what was his conviction, but he says that. And there is another person, or another book, popular book, in 1989 was written. The name of the book was 89 Reasons Why the World Will End in 1989. He gave a couple of reasons that the world will be coming to an end. Anything has happened so far? Anything has happened? Nothing has happened. Then when the world is coming to an end? The obviousness of the time for the coming of the Son of Man will be just as recognizable and certain. The time is certain, but nobody knows when it would happen except the Father in heaven, as we have heard in the Gospel. And also, Jesus, in effect, is telling them, or telling us this evening, that although the end of the world is being described with such a terrible signs, his disciples were called upon to respond with faith, to respond with hope, and to respond with anticipation, and to be ready at every moment. And on the other hand, we are also told that the Son of Man will arrive suddenly and without any warning. Either way, it tells us that the signs are indeed clear, and it is important that we are all ready for the same. All of us need to be ready. And finally, I would like to say that you are never old enough, O-L-D, old enough to begin a new life in Christ. You are never old enough to begin a new life in Christ, which means God is giving ample opportunities, number of times, to be changed and to return back to Christ. And we pray specially this evening, God may give us that grace to accept Him his second coming and to be ready to receive him into our lives. Amen.